Do do to do, I'm dreaming of new. Hi, James from England. He's wearing a tie and he's got, it looks like a resume. Let's go to the board and find out. Yo, what's going on? You're going for an interview? Oh, and you're worried because this is today's lesson, ladies and gentlemen. The five hardest questions you will find on an interview. This is something I think all of you will be able to take something from, because we're going to work on a little bit of communication, but also prepare you for the job market. And these questions are difficult because they ask, what they ask from you is not just to say, you know, yes, no, or I want this much or that much. Your employer is asking a question to get a deeper look into who you are and what you really want and what you have to offer the company. You ready? Let's go to the board and see what this is about. Over here. So five of the hardest interview questions you're going to run into. And funny enough, they don't seem that difficult, but once you actually go into it and you understand what they're trying to get at, you realize why they're so difficult. Why do you want to change jobs? That seems obvious, right? Stop right there. What your employer wants to know is not just, I need more money, which is what you're thinking, or I want a better, you know, because that means you could leave their job as well. And you don't, they don't want to have someone who's just going to move from job to job if someone's just going to pay more, right? So the best way to answer this particular question is, well, number one, I call this easy mode. Have you just moved? So if you're living in England, for instance, and you move to Canada, you kind of need a new job, right? So that's easy mode. They will understand that right away. Okay, you need to make money here, right? Or you've just finished school. Well, I went to business school and I've just graduated. Now I need a job. Makes sense. So you're not just leaving one job to make a bit more money and you cannot be relied on for future. Yeah? Okay. Here's where it gets a bit tricky. So if you have been in the industry for a while and they ask you this question and they're looking at your resume, here's a few things you can say that will show them that you're going to be a terrific long-term employee and this is a good move for both you and them. First, a new challenge. You could start out in a small company, a three-man, four-man, or a four-person company or woman company, and there's only so much growth you can do because all these positions are taken. So you might want to go to a bigger place like an Apple or an Amazon, where you can get more challenges because there's so much that company does that it can help you grow in that way, challenge you to do more and be more. You can say they are offering a better opportunity for your skill set. In some jobs, you'll get stuck in a certain position because they can't use what you have. A perfect example is when I said you graduated from school. So you've graduated from school, but they have an accountant, so they don't need a special forensic accountant. So your skill set is not being used to its maximum. They're not using it to its full potential. So they might say, you might say, I came to this job because you have a specific area that my skills will work perfectly in, so I can actually use the skills I've been trained in that I want to use. Okay? That happens all the time. And the last one, career growth. Do you remember I said a small company, you want to go to a larger company to get greater responsibilities and also be out there more in the environment, as I can say, the business environment to learn more. By doing this and working at other companies, that growth will allow you to have different positions. There's nothing wrong with staying in an entry-level position. And that is something where if you work at a bank, you might be what's called a bank teller, talk to the people. But if you don't do something else, you may never become branch manager or regional manager or president because you haven't got enough experience. So sometimes you need to leave the job you're at to get that experience somewhere else. So you might even come back to the first company, but because of that experience, you can get greater career growth. So that one is number one. Some of the best ways to answer the question, why do you want to change jobs? You can use a couple of these or just one. I mean, if you're just out of school, go to easy mode. Dude, I just graduated. I need to pay the government off. Now, number two. This is I love this question. What is your weakness? Do not say things like, I'm always late. I fight with other coworkers. This is the best way not to get the job. These are weaknesses. These are no-nos. What you want to do is take your weakness and turn it into a strategy. What do I mean by that? By thinking about, the first thing is everyone has a weakness. You cannot say, I have no weaknesses, because that's a lie. They won't buy it. They won't hire you. But if you can turn this weakness into a strategy, you can turn it into something. And here's an example for something. This is a good one in which you've taken it and you've made it something that any company or every company wants. I struggle with people who don't want to maintain the high standards of work that I want. I mean, what company doesn't want someone to have high standards, and they will not tolerate someone who doesn't want to work? It seems like a weakness because it means you're going to be difficult for the people who don't want to work with. You'll be difficult for them. But companies want people like you. Is it a weakness? You've used it strategically, using your brain to make it a strength. How about this one? This is another one because you can be honest. So you could use both of these. The other one is be honest about something. Pick a weakness that you are working on. There's nothing better than a champion fighter or athlete that's lost their way, and then they fight and struggle and come back. People like that, right? People also like people who take responsibility and accountability, which is what companies want for their actions. So in this one, you pick a weakness that you are working on, and you can demonstrate you've worked on it. Once again, don't say, I'm chronically late and I like to fight with the other employees. Please don't. Even if you're working on it, pick something else, right? You know, I'm working on my math skills or my computer skills. I got into a course. But here's the turn on. Here's not just that. Think about it. And I should have said this at the beginning. In all of the stuff I'm telling you, you have to do your homework. These are the hardest questions because you're not going to get them at McDonald's. You're going to get them at careers you want to keep. So you need to do your, what we call due diligence, do your homework, research the company, look for, you can pick up The Economist, you can pick up Forbes, other magazines that will give you an idea, even fashion magazines. When they talk about fashion houses, they will tell you the things that they're lacking currently. So you can put that in your head, put that on paper, keep that in mind. So when this question comes up, you can pick a weakness that you have that you're working on that the company currently needs. Mm-hmm. So now you're saying, yes, my weakness, but I'm working on it. I'm getting better. And they're like, we need a guy like Jones. He can probably help the other employees who are also suffering from this. He has a strategy. So it shows you're willing to take responsibility. You're willing to fix things. And currently what you're fixing is something they could possibly help themselves get better. Cool. All right. Number three, how do you deal with conflict with other colleagues? Remember I told you don't say that's a weakness? Well, there's no place, even in Disneyland. I mean, Goofy and Mickey, they mix it up every once in a while, right? Because Goofy's Goofy. All right? So, things are going to happen. So what's the thing you want to say? Here's one of the best approaches. I'm using this word from here. It means a way to get to something. One of the best approaches about talking about conflict with colleagues, and that's fighting arguments, disagreements. Say I take a collaborative approach. They're going to go, what do you mean collaborative? I like to work together with the individual. Now, the thing you want to add to that, and this is a little framework I'm teaching you, a little way you can say it that's going to be in an interview. So I like a collaborative approach. I like to work with the person I'm having the problem with. And one of the things you want to say is, I like to talk privately with them to fix it. So we will talk to each other. We're not going to go to management right away or talk about it. I want to work with them to fix the problem. So I want a long-term solution. And I want to do it collaborative, work together. And how I'm going to do this, you're going to look and go, what is SBI? I read a book the other day. I'm going to share it with you. It's only 30 pages long. Good book. SBI means situation, behavior, and impact. It's a method that they used for conflict resolution. Conflict resolution means to end fighting and as we do, make a collaborative approach to solving problems. The S is situation, which means you'd go, Jones, the other day at the meeting, situation would say, on Wednesday, March 29th, there was a meeting that we had with all the senior management situation. Then you would talk about behavior. Jones, you were saying really bad things about some of the other managers. That's the behavior. Impact, which is I. Well, those managers felt unhappy about your comments. So what? That happens all the time. No. With the SBI framework, when we're talking about handling conflicts, you're telling someone exactly, because what happens a lot of times, people will say, you're always arguing with everybody all the time, and it makes people angry, and you do it on purpose. Right there, you're doing something that is not cool. You're telling intention. So you're saying that the person who is arguing wants to cause conflict, which may not be the case. So I put SBI to give you the framework. You can say situation, behavior, and impact. When you say, here's the situation that happened at this day, at this place. Behavior, this is what you did. No judgment, this is what you did. Impact, how did it make the other people feel? And then you allow the other person to talk about the impact, like their intention, why they were doing it. They might say, I just wanted to motivate people. I didn't want to make them angry. So we're going to take this. How do you deal with conflicts? I'm literally telling you a strategy to take at the meeting. Talk about, I want to be collaborative. I want to work with people for a long-term solution. Tell them I will talk privately with them, so it's individual. And when I talk privately, I'm going to use the SBI, situation, behavior, and impact, and let them tell me their intention and how we can work together to fix it. Yeah, you can go to other places. Only at Ingvid do we tell you strategy, baby. Yes. Okay, moving on. Next. Number four, why should we hire you? That is actually a good question on the part of the employer. Why should we employ and hire you or employ you? Just because you come with a piece of paper and just because you have experience, it doesn't mean that they need to have you. What I mean by that is, if you think about your own family and you think about your mom, your dad, if you have sisters or brothers, a dog or a cat, that's your family. When one of your siblings gets married, that means your brother or sister, they're bringing someone into that family. And that's going to affect the family dynamic enormously. Whether you're working for a company or a family, it's the same thing. Every new person changes things. So when someone says to you, why should we hire you? The paper is nice, your experience is nice, but it's also, how are you going to affect our company? And it's not a small impact, right? One bad apple ruins all the rest. So when they ask that, they're going to be looking specifically for some words. One is going to be performance-based. The other is going to be, what you can add to, right? What you can add to the company. So performance is like, okay, bottom line numbers. The other is, you might say, culture or community. Right? So let's go and take a look what I said here. So why should we hire you? One of the things you can talk about to get one thing off their mind, which is money. If people are hiring you and they're paying you 50,000, 25,000, it could be rupees, it could be yen, it could be dollars, it could be what have you. They need to know that they're paying you that money. They're going to get that money out on more. Otherwise, you're not good for the company. So you can show, look at the results from my last job, what I was able to do to let them go, okay, you won't cost this money. You'll bring us some money in. That's number one. Number two, show them how your skills are required. Do you remember I told you about that research from before? This is where it comes in handy. Not just over here, but over here. I see that you guys need this in your company. I can provide that. I want to provide that and build on it and help the company. That's why they want to hire you. They want to get money through the door and they want to make sure you can help enhance things that they need. You don't want to have what we call, you know, doubling up or having two people with the same job, the same skills. It doesn't help. The more people you have with different skills and different ideas, you can grow something. Now, finally, number five, where do you see yourself in 5 years? This is a trick question. Because if you say in 5 years, I see myself working for another company with a better position, yeah, they're not hiring you because they're like, okay, you just basically want to make some money here and leave. We're not a stepping stone. That means you're not going to use us to get to the next job. So you have to be careful how you answer this question. Number one, keep your answer general. Well, James, I want to be specific. Don't be. Because the position you're applying for may not have the goals you want to get. So they're going to think, well, you want more than we're going to offer. right? You're the guy sweeping the floor, and you're like, when I'm done sweeping the floor, I want to drive my Lamborghini into the president's office. Like, no, floor sweeping is what you do. That's it. So be general. Say, I would like to see myself progress every year doing something more in the company with some goal structure, but don't be too specific because you don't know if your job will lead to that area. Number two, stress the long term. You have a broad interest. That means a wide interest in the company. Many of the things that it does besides your position. Yes, you'll be focused on your position, but you're also interested in that they do this and they do that. And you know that in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, you cannot learn all of that. So you're interested in learning more. And this goes along to when we talked about your new challenge, all right, in career growth, learning from the company. And because of that broad interest in the company, you want to learn with the company and grow with the company. Because what the company's looking for here, as I was trying to get across, but I'll say it better here, or more eloquently, meaning better, they want to find someone they can invest in. And you want to show to them you're that person. Because not only are you interested in the job that you have and you want to get goals in that area, you're also looking at the long term and learning more about the other areas of the company. If you can do all five of this, my friend, you can do this with your money later. 1/1,000, 2/1,000. Okay, first, you know, get everything else you need, but you get what I'm saying. Because these are some of the five of the hardest questions to answer, because there is no yes, no. You have to show that you've researched the company, you're good at what you do, and that's part of the key here. I can show you these things, but if you're not good at what you do, it's not going to help. But you've researched the company, you're good at what you do, you have a goal and an agenda that you want to do to help for yourself and the company. And this will help you get that job. Cool? Well, you know how we roll here. We have to do a little bit of, well, we're not going to do homework, but I got a little bonus for you. Yeah? And I got homework for you, but not a quiz on this one. You ready? Let's go. And of course, you know, as every lesson goes, I have a bonus for you. I'll have some homework. But let's go to the board and take a look at the three things I want to talk about, your three bonus. Questions. All right. Number one. One of the questions they could ask you is, what are your ideal working conditions? Okay. And now I did do a video earlier in which I kind of talked about this. And I want you to go check it out. Okay. It's on the five most common questions you'll be asked, right? Because sometimes they're going to ask you things and they want to know if you're a team player. So you kind of have to say something like, I like working alone, but I find that I can share my ideas with other people and be collaborative. All right, so you can go watch that video when you're done watching this one, and I'll give you, you know, to help with those basic questions that will come out, but these are the tough ones you got to understand, okay? But in this case, this is a little different because they're asking your ideal working conditions, not necessarily working with people. So, I put down challenging. You want to be challenged. And that's an honest response for any person who's a mature person. You might say, what the hell are you talking about? If you knew every day was going to be the same, every single day, nothing ever changed from getting out, what side of the bed you get out of, what Wheaties you eat, what dinner you have, the same conversations you would have people, eventually you just want to go, okay, I'm done. I don't want to ever do this again. To be challenged is to have something new so you can respond to it and it's new. That's what you would say. I want a challenging environment, something new coming to me. I don't want to keep typing the same letters. I want something else. I want to go in the field. I want to learn something new. So you tell them I want a challenging environment, which is good because any company that's growing, there will be new things introduced and they want people who want to work with those new things. And that should be you. Next, you want to talk about working with a great team. One of the reasons you want to go to a new job is that you hear at, I don't know, whatever company, Company X. These people are doing innovative things, which means new things or a new way of doing it. And you want to be with that team, right? So you want to be challenged and you want to work with other bright people who are working on new things. And we talk about professional development, right? So what are your ideal working conditions? There's going to be professional development. Sometimes you get pieces of paper, like you got 10,000 YouTube views or something, or they send you to other companies to work with them. So as a professional, as an individual, you get to work in different environments in which you can become more of a professional, learn more about your field. Okay. Number two, as your bonus question, how would your colleagues describe you? Now, this is tricky. This is very tricky. A company that's going to ask you this may actually talk to your colleagues. Colleagues are your coworkers or the people you worked with before. So something you want to do is prepare your colleagues. Go to your old friends like Jones and Thomas and say, hey, look, how would you actually describe me? This is done for two reasons. Number one, you know what they're going to say, or you can say, please don't talk about that. But the other thing is you want to know what to say to the new employer so they'll hear the same thing from your friends and it's not two different stories. Okay? That's very important. You can prepare your friends and you can prepare yourself. So you want to prepare them, your colleagues, in case they call, but also yourself. In Canada, for instance, if you want to own a gun, they talk to your friends, your neighbors, and everyone else to see what kind of person you are. They just don't say, so, would your friends say you're a nice guy? Yeah? Eh? No. Then they go, we're going to call them. Employers for really good jobs will also do the same, because if you're good at what you do, they may have heard of you, and they can talk to other people in other companies, go, so, what's Jones like? So prep yourself, prepare your friends or your colleagues. Now, something else you can do when they say, how would your colleagues describe you? Here's where we use strategy and smarts. You figure out what the company needs. Remember we said prepare your friends? You go back and say, okay, can you mention maybe I did this and this with the company? Please keep it honest. I always laugh every once in a while when someone will say, he's teaching us to be fake, to say things aren't true. I've never said that in a video. I say, be honest, be yourself. Here's how you can shape it. And if you think that's a bad thing, do you get dressed in the morning? Do you put on clothes that are presentable to people? Yeah. You don't put on is anything that may get comments. Some people do, and they know they will be stared at, and maybe they will be laughed at, maybe what have you. But most of us put on what we need to do to get the job done, right? So when I say these things, I'm not saying pretend to be someone you're not. But if you've done your research, as I told you before, you'll know the company needs X and O. If you've done these things, prepare your colleagues, put it in their mind to remind them, yes? And then in your interview, you can say, okay, my colleagues would describe me this way, and it just happens to be something you guys actually need. There's nothing wrong with that. That's called preparation, right? I know if it seems not genuine or sincere or, you know, not honest, it's because for people who think that way, they haven't prepared for other things. You have to go by. Any sports team will tell you. You watch the opposition. They don't just go play them. They watch and see how they play so they can have strategy against them. This is the same thing. You need strategy. You're not the only person going for the job. So be more prepared than the other person going for the job. You're welcome. All right, so next one, number three. Tell us about a mistake you made. Earlier on, I talked about weakness. You have a weakness. I have a weakness for chocolate. And if you look at my tummy, you know this is true, yeah? I love the German chocolate, yeah. Okay, so tell us about a mistake you've made. This is different than saying a weakness. This is a one-time thing. When you have a weakness, it's continual. You keep doing it. You've made a mistake, okay? So what do we say here? Number one, give a general account of what happened. Don't be too specific. Nobody, I remember one time at work, it was Game of Thrones, and somebody had asked someone, don't tell us what happened, they did, and they threw something at the other person. You don't want to say that on an interview. I threw a fork at somebody for telling me the answer to Game of Thrones. It was like that. You don't want to say that. You might say, well, we were at lunch and we had this dispute about how information should be dispersed. And I chose to speak aggressively. And I, see, same thing happened. Don't get too specific. But you can get specific on how you fixed it. After lunch, I took the person aside and said, this is how I felt about it and this is why. Be specific on how you fixed it so they get an idea of generally how you handle problems. But you don't need to go into details about the problems, okay? Now, next thing, or the last one I'm going to talk about, is emphasize what you learned. So remember we talked about the mistake? Not only do you talk about how you fixed it, you want to draw from it a lesson. And to be quite honest, if it was really a mistake, you should have been doing this in the first place. What did you learn? And you want to say, I learned this specific lesson and I now apply it at work. So maybe if I was angry at work and I did something, I learned to take three breaths, relax, then speak. and I applied it because of the mistake I made. Remember, it's not the same as a weakness. This is a one-time thing. But we should learn from our mistakes so we can grow. And isn't this the whole thing about the job you're going for? You don't want to just make more money. You want to grow as a person. And you might say, well, how do you know that? You're watching this video. And if you watch more than one of my videos, I never just say, go do X. I want you to grow as a person because I know as you grow as a person, you have more abilities. And that helps you with learning English. You're a better person to learn it. Okay, so your homework is this. Sit down, put a chair in front of a mirror, look at yourself, go through these questions and how you'd answer them. So it's not just using the answers I gave. Look at yourself and see what your body language is. Are you slouching or sitting up? Sit up properly. All right? Also, when you're doing this, go through the thought process of thinking about interviews you've done before, the mistakes you've done before, and how you would fix them. And I would really appreciate it if maybe you put some of these things down in the comments below, whether on InVid or on YouTube, about problems you had or questions you asked you couldn't answer, or mistakes you made in an interview. Let's see if we can help you with that. And before I go, so you got your homework, right? Look in the mirror, look at yourself, go through the interview with yourself. Maybe write some questions about why I should say this or would the interview ask that. That'll help prepare you. And that's going to help prepare you for today's quote, okay? You might have noticed I've been using this again and again. Preparation for tomorrow is hard work today. This was done by a guy named Bruce Lee. If you've ever seen Enter the Dragon or whatnot, you'll know what that's for. If you haven't, you know, one of the greatest martial artists that ever lived. And he wasn't just a martial artist, he was a philosopher, right? So don't just think because someone does, you know, they work out or stay fit, that they're just meatheads. They've got a lot of brains, some of them, all right? And I know you do too. Anyway, time for me to go. And if you're looking for a way to support the channel, okay, what you can do is subscribe, please, and hit the notification bell, that little bell, right? Because some of you watch 2, 3, 4 videos and you're not subscribed. Subscribe, you clearly like it. And then I won't have to see in the comments all the time, where have you been? It's been a long time. No, we're here. You have to subscribe so they'll tell you we're up there, okay? So anyway, you can do that. And I also want you to go to www.ing, as in English, vid, as in video.com, and see the other wonderful teachers that are there, okay? Have a good one, and I look forward to seeing you in the next one. Yo-hee, you can get the job.